today on Real Radio.
If you are not expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ called the rapture of the church, I don't understand how you can read your Bible and miss that, first of all. But let me ask you, what is your blessed hope?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Faith Under Pressure, begins in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonians out of concern for them. They were deeply troubled because they thought Christ's return had already happened. A year had passed since Paul's first letter to the church. Now, during that time, an imposter letter was causing the believers great confusion and distress. Their faith, well, it was shaken, believing the tribulation period had begun. They were relating the terrible persecution they'd been having to endure to the end times. So they quit their jobs and began to lose hope. Today, Pastor Jack tells us, once again, Paul had to remind the church of what he taught them about the Lord's return. They also were to be careful about what they hear regarding the end times. Their true identity was in Christ, so they needed to stay strong in Him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
All right, 2 Thessalonians today. Start a brand new book to a same old church, same new church, I guess, Paul was writing to. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll cover verses 1 through 5, but this writing that he makes right here and now is one that comes about a year after he wrote the first letter. And rather interesting things that set up the situation that I think we are going to enjoy getting into. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul and Silas, or Silvanus, same guy, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Firestone Rubber Company, 1944, a woman working there by the name of Betty Wyatt was an inspector on the assembly line. They had converted the assembly line over from the production of tires and rubber products for Firestone into the military war efforts to help in the war effort. Specifically, her line of manufacturing that she was inspector of, she was Inspector 345, by the way, she was to inspect the product as it came down to the end. Her line had been converted into the production line of making life rafts for U.S. and European aviators, England and France and all, for their aircraft as well. And as she was doing this job, her son received his notice to report for duty, her young son. And so off he went, and he went through the process and was a rather bright boy, and he got good grades and got good marks, and they wound up moving him over to prepare for a flight school. They wanted to become an aviator, to actually become a fighter. And so he did that. And as he went off on his expeditions and on his sorties and these missions to fight, he was entangled in a tremendous battle in the South Pacific. And his aircraft was shot down. And later on, she heard a knock at the door, and there the news was given to her that her son, had been lost at sea. She went back to her work. She tried to do her job. And in that very week, she wound up quitting her job and shutting herself inside the home and weeping and grieved over the death of her son. She just became a shut-in. Some 3 months had gone by when there was a knock at the door. And she opened that door, and standing in that doorway was her son. According to her, back from the dead. And as he came on in, they sat there and he began to share with her. And it was rather interesting because, you see, while she was working there at Firestone, she felt so bad because she didn't think that her efforts were accounting at all and helping out at all regarding the war effort. She was just in a factory, just in Ohio, just working for Firestone, just stamping little pieces of rubber as they went by to say this thing's okay to put in the water. And she was very frustrated. And now to have her son there, she was very, very blessed and very, very excited. And of course, no longer working for the company. He began to tell her what had happened. He said, "Mom, you know, I was involved in this tremendous battle. I got shot down, parachuted into the water, and deployed the emergency life raft that was supplied." And she said, "Well, yeah, you know, Firestone made those. We made those." And he said, "Yeah, well, let me tell you, as the time went on, I spent 4 weeks in that life raft. And I would eat anything I could, and it would rain. I would drink the water, and that life raft became my home." And he said, "I noticed a ship coming off the shore, just a little speck on the horizon. And just then, I was surrounded by sharks, and they began to go around the little life raft, and they began to knock it over. I thought they were going to knock me over at one point in time. Then they began to chew on this thing. They began to eat it up. And as that ship got closer, they saw what was going on. They threw a line into that water, and they hoisted me up. And Mom, right when they were hoisting me up, those sharks were consuming that raft. I had to draw my legs up underneath me as they were eating that raft. Those sharks ate that raft, and this is all I have left. Mom, God kept me alive, and he used a raft, and this is all that's left." And she looked at that piece of rubber that was obviously all scarred up and all from the encounter, and she's looking at it, and she was just so grateful and so happy to have her boy home, and she turns it over, and on the backside, it is stamped, inspected by 345. True story. Her efforts that she thought meant nothing wound up saving her own son's life in World War II. Paul had written a letter to the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians, encouraging the believers to be ready for at any moment Jesus Christ could return in the rapture of the church, so you be ready. He instructed them on how to be as a church, how they ought to worship, how they ought to grow, how they ought to think, how they ought to be. If they're going to be representative of God, and in fact their lives being changed by God, what is it now that they are to live like and live for? And he gave them that instruction. But at the close of every chapter, of the five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, he inserted in there something along these lines. You can look them up later. They should be in your notes. Be ready, because the Lord could come back any moment, and that's our hope. And now a year had gone by when Paul writes the second letter to them, the second correspondence to them. But things had changed. An imposter had come in and written a letter. And that letter was circulated among the believers, and this is what the letter said according to church history and according to Paul's response. The letter said, "You had been waiting for the return of the Lord, that's true, but the fact of the matter is you have to go through the great tribulation period first, and it has in fact begun." And so many of the believers began to think, "Well, wait a minute. Well, he told us maybe we misunderstood him. And besides," listen, everyone carefully, "besides, what we're seeing in our life now is so difficult. We're getting so much persecution, so much attack. There's so many people against us. It's so rough to be a believer. We must be in the tribulation period." And many in the Thessalonian church stopped going to their jobs. They actually began to sit around expecting at any moment we're going to be destroyed by the armies of the Antichrist. They quit working. So Paul will write later on in this book, if any man does not work, he's not going to eat either. Make sure you don't feed any Christian in the church who's not eating. I mean, working. If he's not working, he's not going to eat. He's a lazy bum, and he's using this as an example, especially after I wrote this letter. And the letter said, and this is what he's going to tell us in 2 Thessalonians, you didn't miss the rapture. The Antichrist is not here, and he's going to tell us how to identify him for those who are hanging around and give us some excellent encouragement about how we'll miss him. He's going to instruct them some more. He's going to warn them concerning church discipline, but he's also going to bolster their hope. Why? Because they had lost hope in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Christians, this morning, I'm just talking to the Christians. If you are not expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ, called the rapture of the church, I don't understand how you can read your Bible and miss that, first of all. But let me ask you, what is your blessed hope? Titus 2:13 says, while we wait, earnestly, eagerly waiting for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you lose that as your focal point, by the way, John tells us that all of us who have this hope purifies ourselves. We purify ourselves in our walks daily because we have this hope. If you do not have that hope in your life, you're going to get a little lazy, you're going to get a little slack, you're going to let down your guard a little bit, and you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the joy and the service that the Lord has in store for you, for us as a body. So let's dive into this. And before you do, though, I guess you should set the theme of the book. This is the theme of the entire book. It is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. And Paul says there, do not be shaken. Don't be upset or seismos, earthquake. Don't have an earthquake in your mind or be troubled. That is of your emotion or spirit. Either by spirit, that is, don't believe any supposedly spiritual announcement, or a word or a letter, as if it has come from us, as though the day of Christ has come. That's the theme of this study for the remainder of this book. So we need to remember that. First thing I want you to notice and jot it down, verses 1 and 2, Paul encourages them in the Lord. That's our first point to our study this morning. He's going to encourage them in the Lord. Now watch this. Paul, he says in his letter, Silas or Silvanus and Timothy, all of us guys, you remember us? And they would say, yeah, we do. To the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to circle the word in God, in. It's the Greek word en, in. I-N for us, E-N for them, means the same thing. The church, it's not used very much in Scripture. Paul says, hey, you guys, by the way, it's Silas and Timothy and I. Hey, church in Thessalonia, you're in God. Now, people, why did he say this? Well, gosh, how else is he going to open up a letter? No, there's more to it than this. The church was very disheartened. They were very defeated because of the persecution that was coming against them. We'll see it in a moment about how intense it was. But let me ask you something right now. Are you going through tribulation, or have you, or will you? If you are not, or if you haven't, or if you don't plan on going through any, you can go to sleep. In fact, you can go home if you want to right now. You can just go home, because it won't apply to you. This message will only apply to those who are either going to become believers or who are believers now, or for those of us who wish we weren't believers any longer, but in heaven no longer having to believe, but being there complete. And I don't know where you are in that, but listen, have you caught on that life is a little tough sometimes? Gets a little rough. It's a little difficult. If you've never had a trial and you're a Christian, are you sure? Am I sure what? That I've had a trial? No, are you sure you're a Christian? Because the Bible says, all those who live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a promise that you're not going to hang on much to these days. It's not that popular, but it's a fact. And you say, Jack, man, you're bumming me out. If you hang on for the message, it won't bum you out. If I were to tell you today that all of you who are going to get a months-long paid vacation in Maui will, first of all, come down with a slight fever, and your right ear will turn green. You'll say, well, that's insane. I don't want to have a slight fever, and I don't want to have a green ear, so I don't care how nice Hawaii sounds, I'm not going to be involved. And you know what? You're right. You will not be on the airplane. You will not be on the beach. You will not be there. But if you say, you know what? I can handle, I think, a mild fever and a green ear. I can go for that. For Maui, a month, I'll do it. You're going to get what's been prophesied, but you'll also get Maui in the whole banana, right? Some people, they accept Jesus Christ, and the moment a tribulation or trial comes into their life, Jesus talks about it in Matthew 13, they give up. Well, wait a minute. All the glory and eternal life and never getting sick and being absolutely perfect and seeing God face to face, seeing angels and having joy and peace, an incredible heaven forever? Yeah. But people are going to make fun of me as a Christian? Yep, I'll forget it. I'm not going to have people make fun of me. Then they bow out. Jesus says when persecution and trial arises, they give up and go back into the world. And in a moment, we're going to see how Paul and Jesus speaks to new believers in a new church. Can you believe it? He's going to really let them have it. He's going to really let them up front know that if you're going to be a real Christian, it's not going to be easy. What God has ordained. But boy, has he done it for a reason. We'll see this. Paul is encouraging them. Listen, he points them to the place of their identity. You guys are in God. We are? Yeah. And not only that, you're the church in Thessalonica. Now, the Baptist church down the street probably thought, well, I thought we were the church, or the Methodist church down the street. Listen, it's the church of God in Thessalonica. The ones who are following Jesus Christ, not by name. It wasn't a Calvary Chapel there in Thessalonica. It wasn't a Catholic church. It wasn't the Methodist or the Baptist. It was the church. It was before all that silly stuff came around. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Church of God. And when you're down and pressures come against you in your life, like this church is under extreme persecution, people, they had lost hope. And Paul says, you're a church. You're in God. And that's how you lift somebody up. Have you noticed that? You see somebody walk down the hallway. Do we even look anymore? I mean, you guys are the most loving group of people. And I've been other places to where people don't even look. But we're growing so much, so quick. Do you look at other people walking down the hallway? It's so easy in a crowd to just kind of look down. Or people's faces become just flesh-toned with no eyes and nose. That's not good. And somebody says, how you doing? Oh, I'm all right. When somebody says, all right, that means you're supposed to stop your heels from moving any further. And you say to them, you know, well, how's it going? Can I pray for you? What is your name anyway? John. John, can I pray for you? I mean, chances are, if they're in this building, chances are, it could be like 90% that they're a Christian already. Ask them, can I pray for you? What if he's not a Christian? Ask him if you can pray for him. Well, Jack, you're asking me to pray for anybody I bump into and ask them if they say, oh, I'm doing okay. Yeah, that's right. Do it. Dad, pray with them. Get them. Sick them. Get all over them. Because you know what? When you're down and somebody says, you know what? Let's pray together. Or, you know what? I know we haven't met or we have met or whatever the situation is, but you know, you're kind of a blessing to me. I just thought I'd let you know that. I am? Yeah. Wow. Maybe that's all they need to hear. You're in God. I am. Yeah, you're in the church. Really? Sometimes you need to hear it. It's encouraging. Paul knows exactly what he's doing. He's building them up, and it's not fake. Oh, you're so nice. Oh, Jack, you're just so sweet. As soon as somebody says that, I'm just, oh. And, you know, my mind is, they don't even know who I am. I just bit my dog on the way to church this morning. But when somebody says, you know what? That blessed me. God used you in my life. Thanks. Golly gee. I needed to hear that. Paul is lifting them up. He's encouraging them in the Lord. He does a beautiful job of it, and Paul's very good at it. And by the way, for a year they had a godly reputation, and that too can keep you out of trouble. People began to expect certain things out of this church. And sometimes when the chips are down, you'll follow Jesus Christ for his name's sake. You ever done that? You feel like quitting and giving up and absolutely throwing in the chips, but you know what? You have the name of God attached to your life. Oh man, I've had it with this thing. I'm going to go out there and just drop some acid and rob a bank and settle my financial woes and do heroin and have an affair. I mean, I got confirmation. McDonald's says I deserve a break today. No, you can feel like that. But there's a time sometimes when you're so down, it's like, you know what, and you know what happens? You get that thing and you're driving down the street and you're going down, you pull into the, you know, you're going to go into like a binge at Home Depot. You got your card out there. That's it. I'm going to backslide to the maximum. I'm going to the nursery section. And after there, I'm going to the wall cover. And somebody says, hi, Jack, I go to Calvary. And it's like, oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's like, God, you're everywhere I go. You have people go, and I mean, yesterday I was driving somewhere, and behind me, I could see these people, they're moving, their heads are moving like this, and I'm looking through my window, and they kind of look like those dogs that go like this. So I'm looking closer, and I identify, they go to the church here. And then the car behind them, they go to the church here. And we got the little sticker on the back of the window, says, Jesus said, come after me. And this guy pulls up alongside and says, I saw the sticker on the back of the window, and I knew that you were one of us. And I just thought, that's cool. But God's got a sticker on us. Ephesians 1, chapter 1 tells us that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We're going to go meander off somewhere? It's been too rough. Well, I just got fired. I'm not feeling good on top of it. Got home, and the kids don't respect me. Nothing seems to be going anymore. Have you thought for a moment, if you're a Christian, and that's going on in your life, have you thought for a moment that maybe you're in a trial? A trial? Yeah, your Bible talks a lot about them. Well, I thought it was like time to quit. Oh, no. In fact, the Bible says, for those of us who do not have trials, we're not God's child. For those of us who do have trials, it's proof positive we are His. Well, Jack, my boss got fired, and then I got fired, and he's not a Christian. I am, but, he got fired too. Yeah, you know what? You can tell them good luck. That's all they have. Hey, boss, you got axed. Good luck. Not for you. You're a Christian. God is working in your life, and it may have to go all the way to corporate back in Evanston, Illinois to get you fired because God is working something out in your life. And listen, are you ready for this? It is for your good.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Faith Under Pressure. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. The troubles that come against us in this life will be rewarded in the future. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. I want to tell you about our YouTube channel. Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube, lots of content there. Just go to YouTube and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You'll get updates there, some interviews, some clips from sermons, special online-only content, time-sensitive news updates, and entire sermons available. You know, sometimes you need just that right thing to say to the right person. Why don't you let Pastor Jack help you through that? Really, anything Pastor Jack wants to share with us online, right there at YouTube, all kinds of content. Go check that out. Also, have you got the app for your smartphone or tablet, the iOS or the Android app? It's called the Real Life app, and I'll tell you, it's a great thing to have when you want to connect with Real Radio. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And by the way, visit our website whenever you get a chance. You can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You'll find everything there is related to this radio program right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know that this ministry, by the way, is completely backed by you, the listeners? We don't mention that very often, and we thank you for your continued support. If you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do that right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And let me throw this idea at you. You're strong in your faith, and you know all of us have been there at some point where we'd like to go tell a non-believer about what we believe. We feel strong in our faith, but we're not exactly sure how to share it. Well, Pastor Jack's got a great video that you can either watch yourself and learn from, or it's easy, just send it to an unbelieving friend. It's called Know God. All you got to do is go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Know God tab. It's right there, very easy to see at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You want to learn how to share your faith with someone? Maybe you need just a little bit of encouragement? That's the thing to do. Go check out the Know God tab at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a video that you're really going to like. Also, one more thing before I let you go. Maybe you heard something on the program that sparked your interest, but you forgot to write it down, or maybe you're driving down the street. You don't want to write it down. Did you know if you miss any part of a program, you can catch up right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Real Life with jackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.